From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. In the span of 2 months, two major companies have announced they're moving their corporate headquarters out of Illinois. Last month, it was Boeing, leaving downtown Chicago for a suburb of Washington, D.C. Then last week, Caterpillar announced it was leaving Deerfield, Illinois, for Irving, Texas, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, though the company noted Illinois remains the largest concentration of Caterpillar employees anywhere in the world. With these announcements coming in an election year, Illinois political leaders have been quick to respond. Here's Governor J.B. Pritzker last week.
It is true that they are moving 240 of their personnel. Those are not manufacturing personnel. They're office personnel to another location. But they've added hundreds of other jobs to the state. We have more than 17,400 Caterpillar employees that are working in factories and assembly plants in our state. We've added many more jobs, in fact, hundreds of thousands of jobs since the worst parts of our pandemic have been added to our economy. So we're going to keep working at that. I'm proud of the work that's been done to attract businesses to the state. We've had so many move in here, and of course, disappointed to see Caterpillar move that one office.
Republicans, meanwhile, sought to blame Pritzker and his Democratic allies for the moves. State Senator Darren Bailey, seeking his party's nomination for governor, was quoted saying, "Caterpillar has long warned Illinois about the consequences of the state's poor business policies, starting with a longstanding company policy of refusing to build new facilities in Illinois." Bailey went on to say, "They've made it clear that Illinois' anti-business environment is the reason why they won't build new facilities in our state, so it is not surprising that the company is taking the next step and moving its headquarters out of state. It is time we had leaders who will listen to the business community and take what they have to say seriously." Joining us to talk about both of these moves is John Pletz, a senior reporter at Crain's Chicago Business. John, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being here.
Oh, glad to be here. Thanks.
Listeners, you can join our conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show, at 21ST Show. So let's take these in chronological order. Boeing made its announcement back in May. Why are they leaving?
Boeing is moving its headquarters to Arlington, largely, they say, is, you know, a real estate decision. I think mainly it comes down to the fact that the CEO, Dave Calhoun, who took a, came on board during COVID, hadn't moved to Chicago. He hadn't moved to Chicago. And so they didn't have the same headquarters presence they previously had. Boeing has been reducing real estate, excuse me.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Boeing, interesting that, how much the C-suite
around the country in Seattle and elsewhere. And when asked about it after they announced their decision, you know, the CEO of the company just said, you know, the headline here is it really was a real estate move. That being said, it still got everybody's attention saying, wow, you know, one of the largest companies headquartered in your town just moved, you know, just moved its main office.
Does downtown Chicago have particular and unique challenges when it comes to luring and retaining corporate offices?
I think the Chicago's challenges or Illinois' challenges in luring and retaining offices, you know, it comes down to, you know, kind of a combination of things. You know, one of the big assets for Chicago has always been talent, third largest city in the country. Has a very well-educated workforce here. It's easy to find employees when you're recruiting executive talent. It's easy for their spouses to also find jobs. The other thing that you will hear from companies is that the access to transportation because of O'Hare, which becomes really important for headquarters employees, is also, you know, about as good as it gets. So those are the state's big advantages.
You know, it's interesting thinking of Boeing. This is quite a departure, if you will, but from its last corporate headquarters relocation. I don't know if you were covering that at the time, but the mystery flight plans that they had.
Yes, yeah, the great circus. It was HQ2 before there was HQ2 from Amazon, when, you know, it was a very well-publicized bake-off. And that's one of the other things that, people have taken with a bit of a grain of salt as it relates to Boeing, is they came to Chicago essentially because they were running away from home in Seattle. They wanted to be in a place that wasn't Seattle or DC or St. Louis. They were they had merged, you know, Boeing and McDonnell Douglas at the time. So the connection here, you know, isn't it's not the same as when you have thousands of employees and the headquarters. So if you think about what Caterpillar looked like in Peoria before it moved its headquarters to Chicago, there's just much stronger ties. You know, those decisions to move a headquarters are much more difficult. That was true when, you know, Boeing left Seattle, and it did so deliberately, but it also means that your connection to Chicago, you know, wasn't all that deep, and that, you know, Chicago loved having them here. You know, it was a very high profile headquarters win. So, you know, anytime you're chosen as a headquarters is, you know, it's the kind of thing that economic development officials love.
Yeah. Well, so, okay. So that's one story. And Boeing is, as you say, a unique case. And for any listeners who may not remember, there was this, as we said, it was HQ2 Amazon search before that was a thing. They filed three flight plans when the plane took off, and where it landed is where the new headquarters would be. And I think it was city right. in Texas, Colorado, and then Chicago, of course, right. was the winner at that time. Let's move on to Caterpillar, though, because this is a different thing. Caterpillar was based in Peoria for the better part of a century, and they relocated to Deerfield in the suburb. Now they're decamping for Texas. Why are they going?
Cat hasn't said a lot, which is sort of standard for Cat. What they did say was they thought the, you know, the access to talent in Texas was really good, and they're near an airport. For anybody watching closely, you would say, well, gee, sort of what you have in Chicago, how is that much different, being next to O'Hare, being down the street from DFW. So what people are worried about is, you know, Cat has sort of, at least, you know, in previous years, has grumbled a bit, going back to former CEO Doug Oberhalman, about the state's tax policies. They're also, you talk to other officials around the state, the energy, the last energy bill, it could result in some higher costs for manufacturers. That's not great for Cat, but they didn't really say specifically why they were moving.
All right, let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with John Pletz, senior reporter at Crain's Chicago Business, about the two major announcements in the last 2 months about Boeing and Caterpillar moving their corporate headquarters out of Illinois. Boeing is heading for a suburb of Washington, D.C., and Cat is heading for a suburb in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And did officials see this coming? I mean, we were talking about the sort of sweepstakes aspect of Boeing's last move and Caterpillar. I mean, these were, I think, surprises to the public, at least. Were there people who saw this coming? Should they have?
Boeing or Cat?
Either, both.
I think that there might have been some concerns about Boeing. There was a story by Reuters a little over a year ago that said, described Chicago's headquarters as a ghost town, you know, in the post-COVID and, or, you know, the middle of COVID, actually. Everybody was working from home, you know, the executive staff, you know, largely Chicago had been where their finance operations had been, in addition to the CEO. And Boeing at the time, you know, they've gone through some pretty serious financial issues with both the grounding of the 737 MAX, as well as COVID also just, you know, hammered aviation. So the, you know, Boeing started, you know, really taking a hard look at its real estate, you know, from Seattle to Washington, DC. You know, they did a sale lease back of some facilities in Seattle, and people kind of wondered, boy, I wonder if, you know, the headquarters here feels a little empty, if they don't, you know, if that isn't something they either shrink or get rid of, or they move. With Kat, I think it was something that people, I think it was much more of a surprise. And, you know, that's one of the things about corporate relocations is they are often a surprise. There aren't a lot of bake-offs anymore, you know, that you don't know until the company announces that it's leaving. And so in Caterpillar's case, in hindsight, there are many people who will tell you that when they moved from Peoria to Deerfield, that was the first step. You kind of loosen those bonds. And I believe somebody said at the time, you know, it would make it easier to move even further away later.
I love that phrase bake-off that you used. And that is something that I think a lot of us have been through a lot over the years. Amazon was the last big one I can remember. But here in Illinois, we had the Office Max, Office Depot. I remember when I was a State House reporter, the CEO coming in and testifying before the legislature. Why do you sense there's been a shift in that idea of the sweepstakes approach to corporate relocation?
Well, one's just the environment. With COVID and everything else that's been going on, and now you got people, you know, getting a little anxious about a recession, it just hasn't been the same sort of backdrop generally. You know, offices, headquarters, locations, it's just different. I think that, you know, a lot of people learned from Amazon's HQ2 bake-off, which went badly all the way around. You know, Amazon got the idea from Tesla, which did it for its first really big auto factory, which ended up in Nevada, sort of this bake-off. And that's generally when companies are looking for incentives. Amazon just said, hey, we're going to open the bidding. And it was very high profile. And they left a lot. The people who don't win are going to be very disappointed. And so you're going to make a few people very happy. You're going to make a lot of people unhappy. And that's exactly what they did. And I think everybody else learned from that. You know, ultimately, if the report by Brad Stone, who wrote a book about Amazon, is to be believed, there's no reason, I don't think, to disbelieve it, is Chicago was among the top three finishers. When you looked at the data, you know, Amazon was going to do its headquarters search all about the data. It ended up going to DC and New York, which, you know, was pretty predictable because those are two of the largest pockets of tech talent. And they're also pretty important to Amazon's business. AWS, well, the federal government, is a huge customer for Amazon Web Services. And New York is, both the center for, you know, corporate America, as well as advertising, which is also a big part of their business. And ultimately, they decided not to go to New York. Because I got a lot of pushback after the fact. So I think anybody looking at that just went, wow, man, there was a lot of downsides to that. And companies, particularly around their headquarters, really would like to, downplay or remove as many negatives as possible. And I think Amazon will be held up as sort of the poster child for maybe what not to do in a headquarters search.
Interesting. And you mentioned Dave Calhoun not spending much time in Chicago. Bezos reportedly had pretty much moved to Washington before that search. So maybe that's just sort of the one data point that people should keep their eye on as they're looking at.
That is always very, very important and overlooked quality to headquarters is, you know, the headquarters is where the CEO wants to live or does live in many cases. So, definitely.
Yeah, well, and as we're coming to the end of our time, especially in this pandemic or maybe hopefully someday soon post-pandemic era where more people are working remotely, they're working hybrid, are there more shoes to drop like this? Are there things that you hear whispers of people are worried about this or that company possibly pulling up stakes in Illinois, getting fewer and fewer of these Fortune 500 headquarters?
Well, the one everybody's watching is Citadel. You know, Ken Griffin, obviously the founder and CEO, put a lot of money behind Richard Irvin in the governor's race. He's clearly not been a fan of Governor Pritzker. He spent a lot of money, opposing a graduated income tax. He has said the crime issue in Chicago has become a real problem. They're growing faster in New York than they are in Chicago. That's the one everybody is watching. They are a large employer. They are extremely high profile. Chicago, one of its key industries is the financial markets, and Citadel is one of the biggest players in that and, you know, brings a lot of very well-paid high caliber talent to Chicago. That's the one everybody is watching. Ken Griffin has said publicly he's not happy with how things are going in Chicago, doesn't like the direction, and has all but threatened to move.
Well, that's something we will certainly keep an eye on. I want to thank John Pletz from Crane's Chicago Business for being with us to talk about these two corporate relocations and what the future may hold. John, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Glad to do it.
Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking to Nicholas Surrett, who is the author of a book called An Open Secret. It's about Illinoisans Robert Allerton and John Gregg, who were gay men and partners, but obviously could not be accepted as such in mid-century America. So instead, they told the world they were father and son. And their relationship and its broader meaning is explored in the book An Open Secret. We'll be speaking with the author after a break. We also just talked about Ken Griffin in the previous segment, and I should mention a couple of weeks ago we had an entire segment on Griffin and what he wants out of Illinois politics. You can find that on our website, 21stshow.org, as well as in our podcast feed, anywhere you get your podcasts. More to come after a short break. This is the 21st. Stay with us.